Bossette's Prince's Lessons. Chapter 4, A Trip Down Memory Lane. Peach felt a pang of remorse as she closed the door to her bedchamber. All she needed now was a good night's sleep. Then she'd be able to tackle the Bowser dilemma in the morning. But to Peach's surprise, she found Princess Daisy on her four-poster bed, lying on her stomach, kicking her feet behind her, and humming as she wrote in a journal. With a start, Daisy slapped the journal shut.
Peach, what are you doing here? I thought you and Mario would be, you know, taking one of your long, moonlit walks.
Peach's mouth hung open.
Daisy, this is my bedroom. What are you doing here?
Daisy hopped out of Peach's bed, and not so subtly clicked a small padlock that sealed her diary shut behind her back.
Don't you remember? We're having our slumber party tonight. To celebrate surviving our last adventure. Check it. Can you believe Luigi was going to throw this out? It's a perfectly good shirt.
Daisy held out her hands to present her sleepwear. Peach furrowed her brow as she took in the sight of Daisy before her. In contrast to Peach, who always wore either a thin nightie or elegant woolen nightgown to bed, Daisy preferred to wear sweatpants and old t-shirts. Tonight, Daisy had yellow-orange yoga shorts with a white floral pattern, and a baggy forest green t-shirt, which bore an emblem of Luigi on the front, and the words, Year of Luigi, 2013, on the back. Looking misty-eyed, Daisy gave the shirt a sniff.
It smells like Luigi. Salty, but refined.
Peach snickered.
Of course, our sleepover. I remember now. With all the chaos today, it completely slipped my mind. Feels like we've been running nonstop for a week. But Daisy, aren't you too tired?
Peach paused as she noticed Daisy lowering her pajama bottoms and examining her bare behind in Peach's bedroom mirror. Daisy whistled as she looked over the marks left by the ruler.
Phew. I'd barely recovered from that caning Toadsworth gave us yesterday for going absent without leave, only to have that warrior librarian of yours take her ruler to me. How are your battle scars looking, Peach? I have a feeling Toadsworth went way harder on you, which sucks because it's kinda my fault we ran away in the first place. Then again, my dad's totally going to tan my hide when I get home for causing so much trouble, so in the end it probably all balances out.
Peach paled and covered her bottom. She'd forgotten all about the caning until Daisy had so helpfully reminded her. Beneath her pink gown, the mottled cane mark still twinged slightly whenever she bent over.
I think they've mostly healed by now.
Daisy glanced back at her own backside in the mirror. The tan lines left by their time baking in the dry, dry desert sun were clearly visible.
Really? Wanna compare them to mine?
Peach's face went straight from pale moon white to blood moon red at the thought of baring her bottom for inspection.
No, thank you, Daisy. I'd rather get dressed, in private.
Daisy pondered this strange request, then pulled up her shorts with a nod.
Gotcha. Hey, remember doing calisthenics at Princess Academy? You used to get super shy in the girls' locker room. Well, don't worry, I'll make sure no one sneaks up on you. Nobody's snapping your butt with a wet towel on my watch.
Peach sighed.
Thank you, Daisy.
She thought about asking Daisy to leave the room entirely, but decided it would be easier and less embarrassing to just get dressed quickly, rather than try to spell everything out. At Princess Academy, the time-honored tradition of encouraging classmates with a towel snap to the hiney had been torture for Peach, whereas Daisy had been one of the most ferocious towel snappers. When Peach had asked Daisy, politely, to stop towel whipping her, Daisy had not only instantly agreed, she'd also made a solemn, sacred vow to watch Peach's back in the locker room, for all time. Peach quickly donned her nightie behind her decorative dressing screen, and couldn't resist a quick peek at her peach-shaped posterior. Sure enough, the old cane marks from yesterday had faded to a mottled pink. Daisy whispered urgently from the other side of the screen.
Peach. Coast is clear. Your butt's safe.
Peach emerged to find Daisy scouring the room, darting from the stained glass windows to the door in search of towel-wielding assassins. Peach couldn't help but smile.
Daisy, I'm completely bushed. Why don't we just turn in for the night?
Yeah, good idea. I have so much I want to talk about, but we really need to get to bed.
As Daisy uttered the last word, she spotted her locked diary laying on the bed, and Dove to scoop it up and hide it in the dressing table.
We'll talk about girl stuff tomorrow night.
Relieved, Peach yawned, dimmed the lights, and snuggled under the covers.
Thanks, Daisy. We'll deal with the Bowser problem tomorrow morning when we're refreshed.
Just as she was about to lay down to rest, Daisy shot up from her pillow.
Oh? I know what to do about Bowser, that's easy. I've been thinking about it all day.
Peach snapped awake.
What? You know what to do with Bowser?
Daisy rolled her eyes and chewed her bottom lip.
Duh. Think about it. What happens to you and me when we do something bad?
Peach was struggling to keep up, but Daisy didn't wait for an answer for her rhetorical question.
We get spanked, of course. And Bowser is a bad, bad girl, right? Or, rather, a bad, bad turtle man trapped in the body of a bad, bad girl.
Peach was lost.
So, the plan is?
Daisy grinned like an evil clown.
It's simple. We spank the bad man.
Daisy, Bowser is a megalomaniacal tyrant. I don't think you can fix something like that with a little spanking.
Of course not. He needs lots and lots of spanking to make up for lost time. But only when he deserves it. We don't want to be needlessly cruel.
Peach groaned.
Daisy, that just won't work. People don't just magically change their nature because you start hitting them.
Daisy threw off her covers and pantomimed the act of spanking herself.
But our dads never, ever hit us. They spank us. It's completely different. They only spank us because they love us. And why not? It works, doesn't it? Hasn't your dad taught you to be a better princess by spanking you?
Peach felt her stomach clench. The truth was, she had only been spanked a few times in her entire life. It was true that her father had spanked her himself a few times when she was very young. But as he started to get older, he had passed that duty on to Toadsworth, who had been responsible for Peach's education and discipline since she was old enough to enter Princess Academy. Generally, Peach liked to forget about her spankings as soon as they were over, but each one was painfully memorable. Daisy, in contrast, had been spanked rather frequently by both her parents. And ever since both princesses were punished together for running away, Daisy had been all too eager to discuss her spankings in detail. As Peach considered her last painful experience with the cane, she had to admit it had taught her a lesson.
Well, I suppose it works for us, but that doesn't mean it will work on Bowser. He has to want to do better.
Daisy paused in the middle of delivering her pretend spanking, her hand held high.
Oh, now that you mention it, that does throw a hitch into the plan. Come to think of it, Dad never spanks me without talking to me about what I did first. He always says a spanking won't do me any good if I'm not sorry and try to do better. Sorry, Peach, guess it was a dumb idea.
Peach had a light bulb appear over her head and pressed her index finger to her lips delicately.
No, Daisy, it's not a dumb idea at all. It just needs a little refinement.
Paralyzed, Bowser trembled furtively in his sleep. He was sitting in the divorce court, wearing his sharpest three-piece suit. His twin brother, Morton C. Koopa, adjusted his glasses. Except for his blue hair and sea-green shell, Morton was the spitting image of Bowser.
Don't worry, Big B. Even if they rule against us, we'll have grounds for an appeal.
Appeal? What's that mean?
There's nothing appealing about this place.
Bowser glanced around the courtroom, his head throbbing. Then he spotted her. His ex-wife, Claudia Koopa, sobbing into a handkerchief, surrounded by a crack team of greasy big-shot lawyers, paid for by King Wart, her new beau. Between the two legal teams, Claudia and Bowser's first and only egg sat in a specially prepared incubator, also dressed in a suit and a tie. The legally blind Judge Koopa missed his gavel a few times as he slammed down his hammer, his powdered white wig in danger of flopping off his bald head.
This court finds that all lands and properties of the Koopa Kingdom shall be evenly divided between the two parties.
Bowser wiped the sweat from his brow. That was better than he was expecting.
As for the matter of child custody, this court believes that mother and father should continue to share custody until such time as Koopa Child Protective Services can complete its investigation.
Bowser knocked over his chair as he stood.
No! What is there to investigate? Haven't you already seen more than enough evidence?
As she pretended to weep, Claudia Koopa flashed Bowser a wicked smile, so that only he could see.
Justice is done, she cooed.
We'll appeal immediately,
squeaked one of her lawyers before she elbowed him in the ribs. With a roar, Bowser slammed his fist into the wooden table, smashing it.
No, she can't be trusted to care for that egg. She told me herself she doesn't even want the baby, that she's only doing this to hurt me.
Morton shook as his legal documents were sent flying.
Big B, please. You have to keep a cool head. It's your only chance to win the court over.
But before he could incinerate the courtroom, Bowser became aware of himself, outside of himself. He was weak and small, and his hands were hideous and pale, with too many fingers. The old Bowser stood meekly in the courtroom, as his precious child was carted away from him.
No,
squealed Bowser, but he could only hear a frail woman's voice.
Don't you know what's going to happen next? Do something, fight.
Morton was weeping.
I'm sorry, Big B. I'm so, so sorry. It's all my fault.
Bowser turned on Morton, ready to heap abuse on him, but something was wrong. Morton was small now, wearing a bib.
It's my fault, Big B. I broke it. He's coming.
Bowser looked around. It was his childhood nursery.
Who's coming?
Morton crawled under the crib, hiding in the shadows.
The monster. The great demon king.
A hideous roar shook the castle. A demonic voice bellowed.
Who did it? Where's that little shit?
Then Bowser remembered. This was the old nightmare, always the same. He knew there was no escape from the great demon king. Rushing to lock the door, he spoke the same words he always did.
Stay under the crib, Morton.
The monster slammed against the door.
Let me in. Let me in, you little monster. I'm gonna rescue you over a slow fire.
Pointlessly, Bowser pressed his weight against the nursery door. But he was too small. He was too weak. Then, something interrupted the flow of the old nightmare. A woman's voice, low and far away.
Poor, sweet baby. I had no idea. You've been fighting so hard, trying to be so strong, for oh, so long.
Bowser felt the door splinter and shatter as the great demon king kicked it down, the way it always happened, but this time it was in slow motion.
Mommy, is that you?
The woman held out her arms, welcoming him to her bosom.
Come to me, baby. I'll keep you safe forever.
Bowser toddled to her, wanting to be lost in her embrace, wanting to disappear from the nursery. But something stopped him. In the midst of the dream, he became lucid.
Wait, this never happens in the dream. You're not my mommy.
The blonde woman smiled wide, revealing her pointed teeth.
Please, let me help you. Let me take you away from this nightmare.
But Bowser turned away from her to look for Morton, shivering under the crib. The great demon king was coming.
No, I'm the one who broke it. It was me.
As the door smashed open, Bowser knew there was no escape. There could never be an escape. It was his first eternal memory. Fear, followed by pain. Bowser awoke with a gasp, still shivering in his cot. Over the years, he'd taught himself to awaken on command when the old nightmare haunted him. Rubbing his head, he struggled to get his bearings. Strangely, he felt completely rested. In fact, that had been one of the best night's sleep he'd enjoyed in his entire life.
Rise and grind,
roared Bowser as he hopped to his feet. Only when he caught sight of his bare, lily-white boobs and mussy blonde hair in the mirror did he recall his predicament.
Hoo bull, it's a wee bit nipply out here. I'd best put a shirt on.
Picking up the black ballroom gown he wore yesterday, Bowser sniffed it, shrugged, and put it on again. Then he did a double take and examined the mirror again. His hair was blood red, and his skin tanned to bronze. That was what they were supposed to be, right? Yeah, just like he remembered from last night.
Wait, got to keep a clear head. My brilliant surprise attack on Castle Toadstool failed, for no fault of my own. Then the crown of Queen Toadstool turned me into a woman, and Peach put me in the friend zone, and then...
Bowser approached the broken mirror hesitantly, waiting for his reflection to do something crazy.
Hello, spooky ghost babe. Queen Toadstool? Bozette? You?
Bowser tapped the crown on his head, expecting it to work like a microphone.
Is this thing on?
He shook his head.
Bah, that part was just a dream. I was overly distraught by Peachy's cold, heartless betrayal of my affections. How could she treat me that way? After all we've been through together?
Bowser examined his cell, then drummed his fingers together. He was getting used to having more dexterous fingers.
Then again, she's young and foolish. I'll just give her the cold shoulder. Sooner or later, she'll see how wrong she was and come crawling back to me on bended knee. It's not like she has any better options.
Bowser flexed his biceps and kissed them, slightly disappointed to find them so diminished in his feminine form.
So, all I've got to do is keep a clear head and wait for my chance to.
Outside his cell, the door to the former dungeon-slash-refurbished guest bedroom creaked open. Toadette appeared carrying a tray of steaming pancakes, a protein-rich shroom shake, and a kettle of Koopa tea.
Breakfast is served, King Bowser.
Bowser was salivating as he caught the aroma, floating on air towards the meal, before his face bonked into the iron bars.
I'll hand it over, now?
Toadette started to obey before she caught herself.
I'm sorry, Your Majesty. Please sit on your cot while I pass the meal through the food port.
Toadette gestured to a bell hanging behind a painted yellow line that indicated the safe zone.
When I ring the bell, you may collect your tray.
Smoke billowed from Bowser's nostrils.
And what if I refuse?
Toadette pressed her feet together.
In that case, I can't serve you your breakfast. I'm sorry, Your Majesty, but those are my orders from Captain Toad.
Bowser's hunger won over his desire to get his way.
Fine, be that way.
After Toadette placed the tray in Bowser's cell and rang the bell, Bowser sprang hungrily to snatch up his breakfast. But before he could chow down, he sensed the presence of another person in the room.
Who's there? Come out, you sneak.
A toad with red spots emerged from the shadows in the corner of the cell. He had an unremarkable face, like most toads, but his eyes were sharp and he wore a red scarf that bore a symbol of his rank.
Well done, Toadette. I knew I could count on you.
Toadette failed to hide her look of awe, her twin toad tails bouncing.
Captain Toad, you were watching me?
No, I was watching him.
Captain Toad placed a teasing emphasis on the last word, before dismissing Toadette. Bowser narrowed his eyes.
Do I know you from somewhere?
Standing firmly on the yellow safety line, Captain Toad crossed his arms.
We've met before.
Bowser grinned wickedly, then started stuffing his face, inhaling an entire pancake in one bite.
Gee, you must not have made much of an impression.
Captain Toad refused to dignify Bowser's teasing with a response. After guzzling the shroom shake, Bowser remembered something.
Hang on, aren't you that schmuck who likes to moonlight as a treasure hunter?
Only when I'm not on duty.
A few crumbs of pancake flew from Bowser's mouth as he guffawed.
Yeah, and you're the toad who helped Mario take out that chunking wart.
You seem to know a lot about me. Guess I made an impression after all.
Oh, I always keep close tabs on my peachy poo coo. My lucky twin shy guy spies put you fun goes to shame. It was hilarious watching you and that fat frog wart going at each other. I didn't know who to root for.
Well, we got King Wart in the end, and now we got you.
Bowser paused, half a pancake hanging from his mouth.
Waff duh.
Realizing that talking with his mouth full was spoiling the effect, he threw back his head and downed the rest of the pancake in a single chomp.
What's that? I can't hear you so good. Step a little closer and say that again.
Captain Toad shook his head.
Nice try, but rules are rules. We've got to set a good example for Toadette.
Bowser took a delicate sip of tea. It was rich and well-brewed.
Yes. How else are you supposed to reduce incompetence without setting an example of good leadership? Also, I never fail to make an example out of someone who displeases me.
Captain Toad didn't reply. His toe crept over the safety line, but he didn't cross it. Satisfied, Bowser drank the rest of his tea in silence. A soft voice at the back of his head whispered,
Mario, Luigi, and this guy. Gotta keep both eyes open when they're around.
End of chapter 4. Spanks for listening. If you enjoy my spanking stories, please like and subscribe. You may spank it once.